Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 108, your one stop for manga news and commentary for the week of August 4th, 2014. I am your main host, Derek, and I am joined by my co-host, Mo.
It is August 4th.
Yes, I did.
2014.
I did just mention that, you mental case.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew that.
Indeed.
I'm just repeating it because I totally forgot what it was.
Well, hopefully right now, this week, people will notice and appreciate our brand new method of recording, by which I mean you probably won't notice it because this is just a completely background thing, as in when we record, namely only 2 days out of the week as opposed to every single day for a single segment, which was...
They're supposed to know it's Monday the 4th, not the Tuesday the 5th.
Silence, you fool! No, but really, yeah. So we're hoping that people enjoy the fact that we get these out on Fridays. And as I say that, we're the episodes of last 2 weeks are not out yet because of a certain scheduling issue. Namely, we didn't finish them before the very last day of the week, which is kind of messed up of us. So hopefully our new scheduling will keep us from doing that. But that aside, let's go ahead and talk about the news, starting with the Japanese comic rankings for July 21st through the 26th, and in 10th place we have Case Closed, Volume 84.
Well, Case Closed, we got 10th place. 9th place, Kingdom, Volume 35.
8th place, Say I Love You, Volume 13.
7th place, Fairy Tale, Volume 44.
Yeah, and we've already got like 40 volumes out, and they're doing a volume a month, so I don't know how we're going to end up with... Because according to this release, we're supposed to get volume 44 of Fairy Tale in November, and that's just, let's see, 4 months away-ish. And then apparently we're getting volume 45 in December, which there's still a chance for that to be released in time.
Considering how Mashima has so much energy and surplus than anyone else in this entire manga industry, I can safely say that we won't have any problem being behind, even if, because this guy can turn out 3 chapters in a week if he wanted to.
Well, yeah, but the thing is that I don't see how, with a regular release date, which is about, you know, 4 volumes a month, I think, I'm not certain... And with volume 44 just coming out now, I can see another volume being released in, like, probably December or something. Let me actually take a look and see when Fairy Tale volumes, how often they get released in Japan. Because there's no way I can see us being able to get volume 46 in January already. That just seems ridiculous. But I'm pulling up... Let's see, list of volumes. Let's see. Alright, so as of recently, volume 44 was in July. So July, May, interesting. So July, and the previous one was in May, so that was 2 months before, and March, and that was 2 months before, March, February, January, and then December, October, okay, so in 1 year we get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 volumes, okay, and it's every about 2-3 months. So if we have volume 44 was just released now in September, it was just released now in August, so we could expect the next one in August, September, October.
We should continue the ranking.
Yeah, we could probably expect the next one in November, but still, we're going to catch up at some point. I don't see how we can do this so much. But anyway, yeah, the rankings. What's the next one? Let's see. Yokai Watch 4, limited edition with Robo Gappa.
Oh, Robo Gappa. 5th place, Giant Killing, Volume 32.
4th place, Gekkan Shoujo Nozaki-kun, Volume 5, which, by the way, if you haven't watched the anime, you should. It's hilarious.
It is. I have about... what episode's on right now?
I believe 5. Yeah, it's five episodes.
Oh, my stuff is fine, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. I watched like the first three as soon as you told me about it. And I was like, hey, I remember this manga you showed me before.
It is pretty hilarious. Was it?
Yeah, it was. All
right, next one.
Third place, Maji, Volume 22.
Second place, Vagabond, Volume 37.
When is that going to come back out of hiatus? Anyways, first place, Inuboku DOS, Volume 11.
Indeed. See, and then the New York Times manga bestseller list for July 20 through the 26th. In 10th place, we have Dead Man Wonderland, Volume 2.
9th place, no matter how I look at it, it's you guys' fault I'm not popular, Volume 4.
8th place, Sword Art Online, Aincrad.
7th place, Soul Eater, Not, Volume 3.
6th place, Soul Eater, Volume 21.
5th place, Fairy Tail, Volume 40.
4th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 1.
3rd place, Black Butler, Volume 17.
2nd place, Attack on Titan, No Regrets, Volume 1.
And 1st place, Naruto, Volume 66.
Yeah. Alright, and we also have the North American anime and manga releases for July 27th to August 2nd. And for... let's see, we have... for the anime releases, we have Bleach, the movie, Memories of Nobody, / Bleach, the Diamond Dust Rebellion, movie double feature. For $15, that's not bad.
The movie where Hitsugaya stars in it.
Indeed.
Supposedly. Supposedly. Anyways, the Dear Brother DVD set 1.
We also have Dr. Slump, the movies 1 through 5 in DVD.
For those of you who don't know, Dr. Slump is by the same person who's behind Dragon Ball before he did Dragon Ball.
Mm-hmm.
So, if anything, he likes his roots of Dr. Slump more than he likes Dragon Ball. As far as I recall, I'm saying. But yeah, Monster Rancher DVD complete season 2 and 3.
I need to get those. Yep. Problem Children Are Coming From Another World, aren't they? Blu-ray complete collection and DVD complete collection.
Be surprised. Anyways, Senran Kagura Ninja Flash DVD and Blu-ray complete series. Oh yeah, there's some sort of like a little thing about that actually, like about Funimation.
Alright, and Vampire Knight DVD Complete Collection, Seasons 1 and 2.
We are not an anime news network. Anyways, manga releases. Volume 1 shot. Just one volume. Yep. I don't know how to see it.
Blue Sheep Reverie, Volume 6. Another porn.
Oh, you had a yellow one. Ah, Disciplinarian porn.
From the New World, Volume 5.
How to Get Dumped in Style.
Porn.
Yeah.
Kinoko Inu Mushroom Pup, Volume 1.
Missions of Love, Volume 8. Not porn.
My Little Monster, Volume 3.
Nurse's Sweet Naked Troop. Obviously, I don't need to say that one is.
One is Enough.
I wish it was. Splash to Love, Volume 2.
Teach Me a Lesson, also porn. Oh.
And Vinland Saga, Volume 4. There are no other news for this week.
No other news? Okay. Well, go ahead and... yeah, so let's go ahead and...
well, there's other stuff at least.
Well, yeah, no other releases, but we do have other news, yes. All right, what other news do we have?
Let's see. Comic Blade ceases publication, replaced with Comic Garden Magazine. You ever read Elemental Gilead manga? No. Okay, well, that's where it was published.
Okay.
Once I was published, it's published in a new print magazine. So, yeah, I'm loving that one. There we go. Okay, moving on. Hunter x Hunter manga takes a 2-week hiatus. I'm quite sure Yeah.
Not surprised.
You're making it very harder for me to get into this series. So
well, it does give me a chance to catch
up. At the same time, as long as you're not going, oh, I'm going to take like 1 year hiatus, being like, no.
Well, I can imagine now that he's being published internationally, there's a little, simultaneously, there's a little more pressure on him, probably.
Yeah.
So.
Plus he's old.
Yeah, because I can imagine that, yeah, I mean, you might want to avoid looking like a laughing stock internationally.
You know, I kind of want to know what the schedule was like when he was doing Yu Yu Hakusho compared to this one.
I can imagine Yu Yu Hakusho, he stuck to his schedule more.
Yeah, because, you know, it wasn't that big a deal. But this series was that big a deal, which is surprising. Well, I can see why. I mean, we did really like the first volume, but I read about the first 30 chapters.
Yeah.
Anyways, here's another kind of sad news. Silver Spoons are a colossal of the manga civilization. So I'm guessing it's like a hiatus too.
Yeah, well, no, not a hiatus, more like instead of being a weekly or monthly or whatever, it's like a month becomes a monthly or becomes a bi-monthly or something like that.
Bi-monthly.
Yeah, the reason being that she needs to help with going to be helping a family member who is in ill health. And so we hope that they get better soon or that...
I get the feeling she might actually make that reflected in her in the series at some point. And they'll be like, oh, we remember this.
Well,
people badmouth that and then get slapped in the face by me. Anyway, moving on.
Well, yeah, considering how much, you know, how well she stuck to her schedule of a monthly series with 50-plus pages every chapter for several years with Fullmetal Alchemist, I'd say she certainly deserves to take a break, especially considering that Silver Spoon is not one of those high-intense storylines that, compared to Fullmetal Alchemist. So, yep. All right, next bit of news, and, oh dear.
Remember that Naruto Ultra Important Announcement? I think that one of them I'm going to say here might be this. Naruto Sasuke Uchiha gets a spin-off manga in Psycho Jump.
Is there something in the water in Japan? No, really, is there something in the water? Because how can anyone in... yeah. It's like, oh, they all got poisoning. Yeah, they all got poisoning from eating salmon sushi that wasn't prepared properly. Seriously, how could anyone in the publishing industry in Japan think this is a good idea?
Well, here's a funny bit. You remember the same person who did the Rock Lee spinoff?
Wait, this is the same person that's doing it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. In that case, never mind. I was thinking this was going to be one of those spin-offs that was like, oh, this is a serious story, and I was like, seriously, that nobody except apparently the Japanese readers wants to read any more of Sasuke. But if it's by the guy that did the Rock Lee spin-off, then this better just be an entire manga dedicated to abusing Sasuke in the funniest ways.
Well, it's supposed to be focusing during the time when he was on his own. You know, after the fight of Itachi or something.
No, really? What the fucking hell is in the water in Japan? That was the worst part of the manga up until the current worst part, which has been the past couple years with the war arc. But seriously, all of that BS where we were subjected to with Sasuke on its own and hunting down Itachi and... hunting down the eight tails or whatever, that was quite possibly the worst crap to have to suffer through back when the series was actually still good. Seriously, this is ridiculous. I mean, I can only assume that Sasuke is, like, more popular than Jesus in Japan, because there's no other way that I could see that anyone would think that a spin-off for the worst frickin' character in the entire series is a good idea. Anyway, so, yeah, what is the general reaction to this news? I know you've looked some of it.
Well, I've actually was surprised about this, because I was like, wait, are you serious? So I looked it up on some forums and threads, and the funny thing is about this is that The news. What was so recent when I looked it up, and then I looked them in the past couple of days after each single day, every single new day, and up to this point, there has not been anything new that anyone said about it, because they're probably like, "Yeah, we know we get to talk about it."
That is kind of funny.
It's like, oh, this isn't news, just whatever.
Yeah. All right. What else?
Well, I was going to say ultra important news was supposedly that there's going to be a final Naruto movie or something.
Oh, fun times.
Final Naruto movie that, probably through with part 3. So.
Indeed.
Interesting to see how that goes. Anyways, okay, here's some more actually important news. I read some discussion about it. It's pretty Interesting. Man arrested for uploading attack on Titan via share. What? But we've seen this before. No, that's again a pretty big deal. Isn't it?
Apparently.
Like, why are they going to these people? Because, like, why are they going to people like every once in a while? Because they want to make a point. They want to point out that doing this is bad. It's wrong.
Yeah.
It hurts the sales, really. hurts the Attack on Titan sales, really.
Yeah. Well, don't you realize they could have more money? No, but really, if I was a manga author, I would want people not to upload my stuff because, I would want all of the money that I could get because I'm a mercenary.
What?
You know, as in referring to a mercenary, as in it can be used to refer to someone that will do, that only does things for money or will do anything for money, not necessarily someone that will go out and fight for money. You know, like having a mercenary attitude, which is, hey, if I get paid, I don't care, kind of thing. So, yeah. All right, well, that's ridiculous, but at least apparently the Japanese police have nothing else to do, so that's good for them, I guess.
Here's another thing. Anime production companies and manga publishers are cracking down on piracy.
Well, considering that most of the manga that I want is available legally in the U.S., I'm kind of okay with that.
The problem is, most of the manga I like to read aren't still available legally in the U.S., and despite that, some have some objectionable content.
Yeah, well,
they do have things I do like in it, just I don't like, it's just, I'm glad that the stuff that just really messed up stays where it is.
Well, they're not gonna make it over here anytime soon, but, alright, well, cool.
There's a video about it.
Alright, well, does it mention how they plan to crack down on piracy?
Let's see, the enforcement will begin on Friday, so I'm guessing that was last Friday, right. And spend 5 months. It will cover 500 manga titles and 80 anime titles of online reading, storage, video sharing, and torrent sites marked as specific targets. Ooh, boy.
Interesting. Alright, cool. Alright then. Well, what else? Oh. What other news do we have?
Torrenting always sucks for me anyway. Anyway, Seven Seas, Line 6, 12B, Serve and Servant Manga. And the manga title by Monster Musume is Oyakado, played for April 2015. Wait, is this by the same? Wait. Servam! And, okay, 12B is by the same person who did Monster Musume.
Oh, I don't care. Monster Musume, was that the weird porn one?
There was no nude.
Yes, there was.
No, there wasn't.
Yes, there was.
No, there wasn't.
Centaur Girl.
I only read the first chapter, so I don't remember anything. I never got that one.
Don't read it, people. I read for you. I suffered for you, and I can say, if you are anything approaching
you mean like a Twilight?
Normal person right now, that's totally why I read that series, too. No, but yeah, if you're anything approaching a normal person, avoid this series. It's ridiculous. But, alright, what else do we have?
Okay, Attack on Titans, No Regrets gets a spin-off. Spin-off gets anime DVD.
Walk on. Cool.
Wonder why it's not just airing on TV instead.
Well, probably they're just going to be OVAs, aren't they?
Probably. Since it's only just, it's just a spin-off of how Levi and Erwin met.
Cool. Alright, excellent. What else do we have?
Oh, yeah, here we go. One Piece takes over the Yamanote train for the 15th anniversary. About time they stepped up their game with their advertising.
Yeah, looks much better. Oh, wait. What? Anniversary? 15th anniversary? Cool. Nice, yeah.
15th anniversary.
I do have to kind of love how they...
also, strangely, because it's because I've been watching Rail Wars lately. And it's okay...
Mo, we're not an anime podcast.
I know, but it's still really the trains.
I don't care.
Why can't there be train manga?
Anyway, as I was saying before I was rudely interrupted, I am kind of amused how in some of these pictures how they have, you know, they've got Nami and Robin there. I love how they, I guess because, you know, they don't want the massive cleavage all over the train, they put the One Piece 15th anniversary logo right smack dab over Robin's and Nami's chests.
Well,
That's kind of
Nami doesn't
hilarious.
so well, but yeah.
Yeah, with Nami, it's kind of like, well, they kind of do it with the others as well, but...
They cover Zoro's.
Yeah, with... Yeah, they're like, oh, how scandalous. But yeah, with Robin's, it's funny at how perfectly it hides it. And so, that's kind of hilarious.
Hey, eyes up here, not down there.
I've made my decision. Alright, well, what other news do we have?
Okay, last two bits of news. Terraform Mars TV series will premiere on September 26th. Okay.
Okay.
Here's the thing. The anime, the television anime, will animate the Annex 1 arc of the manga, which is the one that takes place 20 years after the Bugs 2 arc, which is the initial first volume we read. Mm. You know, the Bugs 2 was the first volume, the one we read. The ones after will be Annex 1. And the first volume of the OVA will show with... Wait, the Annex... Yeah.
Yeah.
Volume of the OVA will show with the 10th volume of the manga on August 20th, and the second volume will show with the 11th volume in November.
Yeah, I wonder how this, if this series, this anime will tone down certain themes. Like, I know anime will often tone down violence in certain cases. Well, it depends on what the, you know, what the series is, but for example, a series like Bleach, it will tone down the, you know, some of the violence a little bit, and for this one, I'm wondering if it will do that, or... if it will cut out some of the more, if it will censor some of the more unsavory parts of the characters' backstories.
But it probably might, but yeah, this is a funny thing I know about Terraform Mars and Attack on Titan. Both series contain characters,
yes.
Focus on characters who pretty much are going out to die for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, we're generally not supposed to care about them because they're going to die anyway at some point. And yet, somehow, we do. So
yeah.
I wonder if Terraform Mars might be able to just do a good job of Attack on Titan in some way. I mean, they're going to be giant cockroaches that could probably do whatever they can.
Yeah, I honestly... What kind of amuses me is how they don't... is how they don't appear to have any laser weapons or anything like that. Because if it were me and I was in that situation, what I would do is I would send, and considering this is like almost 500 years in the future, I would go and I would set up a, first I would take a ship or several ships with fighters and then just do a carpet bombing of the entire planet with, and just just, you know, laser all the cockroaches. Because I'm pretty sure they can't survive lasers. But, anyway,
well, if they did, they would kill all the trees. Wait.
Well, that's why you'd want lasers.
Kill the trees.
Yeah, that's why you want lasers that are, you know, specifically targeted. You know, they see a cockroach, they kill the cockroach, as opposed to, you know, just burning the whole thing. But
yeah, well,
I
guess they don't want to burn the whole. They don't want to laser the whole thing. They might set things on fire, and they still need Mars to be in have a place for the people who are crossing Earth to.
Live on. Yeah, how about this? You send in a bunch of drones with armed with lasers and armed with fire extinguishers. So they burn the cockroaches. If any of the ground gets set on fire, uses the fire extinguisher, and then it keeps moving until.
But the cockroaches have kind of built an immunity to the fire.
Well, yes, but. You can't build immunity to all heat. Just have a very powerful laser that just.
That's true. If we could just if we just move the sun next to them, it'll probably kill them all, but they'll end up burning on Mars, too.
Or I guess, yeah, freeze them and then shoot them into the sun. But yeah, anyway, what else do we have?
Oh, and another bit of news. Akira Hiramoto's kind of Gokugaku in Okunoma's Prison School manga gets an anime.
Oh, cool.
Now, here's the funny thing.
It's that
out of the three series, these two series, I still need to catch up on in terms of their manga.
Yeah.
And...
cool. It's that series I won't admit to reading. Awesome.
I'll admit to reading it.
Yeah, well, here's the weird thing about this one, because I'm just thinking... Okay, well, I know what is in the manga, and I know that anime tends not to be as extreme when it comes to, you know, animating nudity and such things, so I'm kind of wondering how on earth this is going to turn out, because it's one of those series where it has a delicate balance between the ridiculous, batshit, insane fan service and the pretty ridiculous and the weird comedy that kind of requires the batshit insane fan service. And so I'm kind of wondering how this is going to happen, if there's going to be, if they're going to remove the actual nudity that happens later, or if they are planning to have it all in there, but have a censored version for airing, and then later on release an uncensored version, like series, like, what was it, Seikon no Quasar and To Love in Darkness did. I can't remember any others, but yeah.
I can't read Seikon no Quasar. I don't know why. Personal reason.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, so I guess this one doesn't have a release date yet, but it has been announced. So I am curious to see what happens with this one, because it is one of those ones where either it's going to have to be a late, late, late night anime, or it's going to have to be one of those ones where they censor it so much that it's kind of not worth watching. So we shall have to see.
I don't think they could censor that it's not worth watching. I mean, there's been other, there's some studios that have two versions, a censored and uncensored version.
Yeah, I think that's what they might do. Because especially if it airs, if it ends up airing on like Crunchyroll or something, there's no way they're going to have that uncensored. At least I'm pretty sure they're not. They don't tend
to have. No chance of it.
Yeah, they don't tend to have uncensored stuff. But anyway.
I mean, yeah.
That's the news, is it?
That's the news.
All right, then. Uh-oh. Ah, sorry, a sec. My drink almost foamed up. All right, then.
Bad job.
Yep. All right, so let's go ahead and talk about the manga review for the week. And this week we are talking about volumes 9 and 10 of Attack on Titan. And to keep things short and simple, volume 9 carries off from where they assume that a hole has been made in the wall and they have to try to escape, and all of the 104th can't use their gear because, well, they were suspected for being the traitors, and so they didn't have their gear, so they have to all escape. And you've got, well, I can't remember how they pronounce it, but they pronounce it Mike, probably, but since, you know, we're doing a Germanic people here, this is Mike, one of the second-in-command, I think he's like the second-in-command or something, that sticks behind and manages to beat most of the Titans, but then when he tries to get his horse to come, this weird monkey-looking abnormal Titan grabs it and kills it. And keeps Mike from being able to escape by throwing it at him, and then the other Titans catch him and put him in his mouth, and the Titan tries talking to him. And Mike is completely petrified because now he has... Yeah. Because now he is faced by a Titan that can talk. And that somehow is even more terrifying. Not only, because, you know, not only is it so powerful, it could just crush him, but at the same time, it's also intelligent.
I think it's more terrifying than something that's intelligent and can talk to you on the same ground.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you're about to die now, right? So, how about you tell me what that thing is, and maybe I'll let you die anyway.
Yeah, and he ends up, yeah, and he ends up taking his, you know, taking his 3D maneuver gear, and then lets the Titans eat him. And it ends like, I knew it, you can talk. And it's just really funny, it's like, my word, they really do think up interesting things. And it's like, I swear, I've done a comparison of this before.
Did you think of the Beast Titan talking with a British accent?
Yeah, because quite frankly, that line at the end reminds me so much of like Arthur Weasley in Harry Potter. Whereas, like, you know, the very, you know, impressed yet slightly condescending tone of someone that is superior to regular people, but is still impressed by the ingenuity of regular people, and that's kind of hilarious. But yeah, let's see. And then we get a little bit of a focus on
Sasha,
and we also once again get to see why. Why smaller Titans are absolutely terrifying, because we see one eating a woman, and
The sad thing is that woman's legs aren't even, you know.
And she seems to still be alive, is the thing. And so it's like it's just eating her legs, and Sasha comes in and tries to kill it, but of course the axe...
Eating her legs. It's like, yeah. I don't need my legs anyway.
Yeah, it's like she can't slice the bits out of the neck. But that's kind of, that's what's weird, is that, you know, you'd think a lot of times it seems like just destroying a certain part of the neck is enough, so you'd think just hitting it there, but now here's what's weird about this is, I mean, the neck, it's been established that the neck is the weak point, because that's where the operators are, you know, for the ones that are controlled by humans. But then this guy is way too small. I mean, the operator would have to be...
Small.
Yeah, the operator would be in there like he's, you know, like he's a... like he's wearing a suit of armor rather than he's piloting a giant robot kind of deal. And so, but then again, they do mention that humans can become completely absorbed, which is probably what happened here. But then at the same time, why would the neck still be the weakness? And why wouldn't just smashing it and cutting it in the neck be enough?
But
the funny thing is it continues to ignore her while she's attacking. So she takes this kid and escapes, but then it notices her and starts chasing after them. And then, yeah, we've got Sasha that takes them on just using some arrows, and... It's a pretty badass scene because, you know, it's something that she manages to blind it and escape, but it's definitely not something that could be done with, you know, with the larger one, but still, it's kind of badass. And,
yes, she lived.
Yeah, she manages to live, and also she manages to find a family.
Mm-hmm.
And, yep, so let's see, and then we cut to Hange, Eren, Mikasa, and... Armin and Levi and what's his face? Father,
Pastor
Nick, yes. Well, anyway, and they're talking about, hey, we should use Eren's ability to seal the hole, and we have to do it. And then Nick sees all the, you know, sees all the refugees and realizing how big of a problem it is. And then he tells them a little bit that, you know, that he has to, you know, that he has to, yeah, you know, he basically has to, you know, gives it away a little bit, but he can't give more because, you know, there's something deeper going up here. And she reveals that there's the person that knows, that should know about it because she's of the bloodline of the, you know, the ruling family, basically. Mm-hmm. And they tell her, oh, what's her name? And then, you know, we don't get to find out who she actually is. And then we cut to, let's see, you get to see Connie, who goes back to his home, and he sees a freaky titan that's laying in his, you know, in his house. His
arms and legs are really out of proportion.
Yeah, and so it's like, hey, wait a minute, that titan can't move, and with those limbs, there's no way it could move, but how did it get inside that house that it's laying in, inside Connie's house, if it can't move?
That is a very big mystery.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got, yeah, and then Connie's like, wait, there's something weird going on, and you know, they realize that they had all, you know, all the people, they were gone, the houses weren't destroyed, the horses were still there, so they weren't attacked by titans, and they didn't escape, because they would have taken the horses, so what's going on? And then the titan that's laying in his house says, well, come home, and he looks, he's like, wait, did it just, and then Reiner says, like, dude, we need to go. I was like, wait, but didn't you just hear? I was like, no, I heard nothing. We need to go. And
he's lying, yeah. He just didn't want to admit it.
Yeah. And yeah, Connie is like, wait, it sounded like the Titan sounded like my mom.
If I don't hear the Titan talk, I won't get eaten.
Yeah.
And then, like Mickey did.
Yep. And then we get to see some other areas where they're, you know, they're fighting off the Titans, and they're also trying to figure out where the hole is. But they end up finding that there is no hole. They can't find it, and we...
Done.
And then, let's see, yeah, and then the 104th group end up going, hiding in a castle, and they get attacked by titans. And then you see the ape-like titan that climbs the wall and escapes. So, yeah, what do we think of this volume?
Titans attack at night, that's scary, man.
Yeah, that Yeah, that image of them as they're like, traveling through the dark, and they're like, we can't use light, we can't use much light because, otherwise we get seen, but there could be titans all around us.
That's like if vampires could actually walk over running water, can actually move in the sun during sunlight at some point.
Except the Titans can't move at dark at night.
Yeah, except the Titans, it was kind of weird because, Titans, we were told the Titans can't move at night, but then when that moon came out, okay, the moon came out. So why was it that they didn't move out around at night when the moon came out how many years humanity's been enslaved like that? The heck? Mm-hmm. It's got to do with that beast time, apparently.
Yes, it is quite weird.
Probably gave him a buff. I will give you a anti-nighttime buff. Now you can move around at night all you want.
Well, yeah. But all right, well, let's move on to volume 10 as well, which is...
more about the breeze. Okay.
What were you going to mention?
Well, I was going to say that, like you said, since the people forces were still in the stalls, mm-hmm. and the village was destroyed, but nobody was to be found, it can only be surmised that the villagers are the titans, because they're mm-hmm. mostly...
That is kind of what is implied, yes.
But then watch when Nishiyama gets to that point and go, oh, no, there wasn't that. Illy's abducted them. No, not Illy.
No, that's stupid. He's not going to do that. No.
He would never do that.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about Volume 10.
Okay.
All right. So Volume 10 is basically, the majority of it is them fighting the Titans that are coming after them. And then we get the reveal that Ymir is actually a Titan shifter herself.
Mm-hmm.
And she is actually the same Titan that Reiner and Bertholdt remember because that ate their friend.
Oh, look. Little delicious.
Om nom nom. And so, Ymir fights off the other Titans. But the problem is that while she is fast, she's also a lot smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Than the others, so fighting them is pretty dangerous. And she almost gets, eaten, but they end up knocking down the wall, the tower, and crushing the other Titans.
Mm.
But then, they're still moving, and they overpower Ymir. And right as they're about to kill, Mikasa and Eren and the others show up, and Eren actually gets his first official kill with his with his maneuvering gear, which is hilarious.
Oh, so they're just like, I got my first kill, and then all these other guys are like, hey, get back in line, you idiot.
Oh. And he crashed, and he's like, ow. But yeah, they end up saving them, and then they get to the wall, and then they meet the other teams, like, who tell them there is no hole.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what? Yeah, and it's,
I'll play the foot.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, and it's pretty, it's like, oh, well, that's, well. yeah, and also while they're learning that and everyone's talking, in the background we get the reveal that Reiner and Bertholdt are the Armored Titan and the Colossus Titan.
Panel was just so weird. I was like, hey, I have to tell you, I'm actually the Armored Titan and this guy is a Colossus Titan. What are you doing?
It was so weird because it's treated as such not a big deal. And, it's just in the background with Armin and Mikasa in the foreground. And it's kind of interesting, though, that you got Mikasa kind of sticks behind and hears what they're talking about. And it's actually just listening into them where they're like, oh, hey, yeah, they're trying to convince Eren to come with them. And they're like, oh, to our hometown.
Come with us to our hometown, we won't touch the wall ever again. We promise. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so there's also a hint that, oh, wait, maybe there's something Reiner and Bertholdt are suspicious from before. But, yeah. And let's see. And Eren is, of course, oh, come on, look, you're crazy. You're tired. It's like, you don't know what you're talking about. And Reiner's like, I don't have a choice. I have to carry out my duty as a warrior. And they're about to fight. And then Mikasa, who was, of course, listening, comes in and slices Reiner's right hand off. And then slices into, lengthwise, his left hand. Which is an absolutely gruesome image. And it looks freaking painful as heck. And then she gets Bertholdt as well, gets his arms and his neck. And Unfortunately for them, they both transform. They grab Ymir and try to escape, and then Eren transforms and goes after them. And that is, yeah, that
Didn't
is that.
Did you get to say what Reiner and Bertolt transformed into?
I did.
You did?
Yeah, the Armored and the Colossal Titan. They say it at the very beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And so, but yeah, it's, yeah, and also the ending for that volume is a, you know, martial arts sort of kids version of the of the manga, which I'm like, yeah, that doesn't work. And then I think, let's see, what was it? Oddly enough, in volume 9, it was like a martial arts Mikasa ballet preview, which was, or she's like Mikasa as an idol. It's pretty hilarious.
Well, considering Ramen 1/2 is pretty much martial arts and everything, I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm surprised they never got to a martial arts ballet. But
oh, they did. Oh, that's a little funny.
Yeah, that's disappointing. But anyway, that was Volume 10. So what did we think of Volume 10? Volume 10. Volume 10!
Volume 10.
Volume 10.
So 10. I gotta admit, like I said, the
the underwhelming reveal.
Yeah, the few panels where Reiner was all like, hey,
we're
me
the big
and Bertolt, we're actually your enemy. We're the Titans from 5 years ago.
Oh,
and,
gosh, that
yeah,
that reminds,
come on.
Oh, gosh, that reminds me of the animated Hercules movie based on the Kevin Sorbo TV show.
Movie?
Yeah, they did an animated movie based on that. It was like a Hercules and Xena crossover.
Oh.
And there's this moment where the Titans break free and take over Olympus, and they have this song that goes like, "We are the Titans." Although I may be getting that confused with the "Remember the Titans."
Oh my goodness, there was a movie. I didn't even know there was a movie.
It's kind of hilarious, but either way, one of those two movies had a song about how they are the Titans, and that kind of reminds me of this. Anyway, yeah. So, Volume 10, Volume 10 is mostly fighting and also reveals of, hey, wait a minute, you know, something weird is going on with Ymir, and then it reveals, oh, hey, look, something really weird is going on with Ymir, she is now a Titan, but why, and what's her story, etc., and then also the reveal of, yeah, it's a pretty big moment in the story where we go from, where we reveal who the ultimate enemies are here, more or less, with Reiner and Bertolt.
Yeah, those guys were the ones who fought for Reiner 5 years, of course. And when Eren was like, "You traitors!" I was like, oh man, somebody mad.
Yeah. You're the reason my mommy is dead.
You're the reason why everybody loves, you know, yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. So we get a little hint that, oh, you know, there's a bigger purpose that they're serving kind of deal. But, yeah. So we got that, and yeah, I mean, these were two really good volumes. I quite enjoyed them. It's a very exciting part of the story, and this is kind of the part where we're still, you know, dealing with the story involving the Titans before we get into the current chapters, which are a little bit on the dull side. But
yeah, it's true. This is where, like, when this part came out, I was like, holy crap, I'm so glad I caught up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, all right. From here on, did we have anything else we wanted to mention about those two volumes? I mean, either way, people should read them.
Well, series aside...
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, series aside, I want to know who the heck the Beast Titan is.
It is quite interesting, I guess. Well, yeah, honestly, yeah, we do still need to find out what the deal is with, you know, what the deal is with the Titans, and I feel that we will learn that around the time we learn who the, you know, who the Titan Transformers are. Because they seem to come from outside the walls, certainly.
Definitely.
So it will be interesting to see what the deal with that is. But, all right. Let's see. I think that wraps us up there, does it not?
Actually, can I mention a little interesting?
Oh, sure.
Ymir. Ymir, from Norse mythology, was a Titan, wasn't it? Really? Titan?
Well, there were no Titans in Norse mythology. There were giants.
Giants, okay. Close.
Same deal, but slightly less cosmically powerful. But let me know. All right, Ymir in Norse mythology. Ymir is a primeval being born of primordial elemental poison and the ancestor of all Jotnar. Okay, yeah. Jotnar being the giants.
Okay.
Ice giants, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, and yeah, so basically that would make sense, and that kind of also makes sense. So she must be tied in with it. Okay, based on that, and based on the... that one extra chapter that we had where the Titan mentions the name Ymir, I'm going to assume that this means that Ymir, who is older than we realize, has is probably quite possibly the first Titan, or may be involved with the creation of the Titans, because otherwise why have her name be Ymir, and also why have her, you know, have the that one Titan mention her name. So chances
are, from that one special about Ilse's diary, whatever.
Ilse's. Which works, which definitely works, and considering the general Germanic theme of the series, it all kind of ties together, and also the concept that you know, that she can read letters that Reiner can't. Which suggests that she either, you know, that, you know, she either reads a foreign language or the, you know, it's an old language or something. I don't know. I think we'll get a reveal of what that means exactly, but right now it's kind of odd and an interesting point of speculation. Mm. Since, you know, Ymir can read something that Berthold can't, and he's... At the time, we thought he was a regular guy, but no, he's one of the Titans. So it's her being able to read doesn't have anything to do with the Titans. It has something to do with just the, you know, it's something separate. Mm. So we'll see what we do, what that means. But okay, for next week, we will be going over Food Wars, or Shokugeki no Soma.
Oh my goodness, what time.
Yep, that is actually coming out the day that we record this. We will also, since it's the only new release, we will also be going over Attack on Titan Volume 11. We only have 11 and 12 left, but we kind of figure we should stick to just two volumes of manga, you know, rather than going crazy and doing three, because that's a bit much, I say.
Yeah, it takes a toll on all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so with that, yeah, we'll be going over the first volume of Food Wars, and then we'll be going over Volume 11 of Attack on Titan, and then the following week after that, the week of the 12th, well... this will be us going over this one on the week of the 12th, and then the week of the 12th, the new Fairy Tale comes out, so we will review that the following week, and then after that, we've got a week of nothing, where I think we'll possibly talk about a couple volumes of Yotsuba, but we'll see where we go there, but yeah, for next week, certainly, Food Wars Volume 1 and Attack on Titan Volume 11.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, and okay, let's go ahead and move on to the next segment, shall we? This is the manga commentary for the week. We are covering issue 36 of Weekly Shonen Jump, which is the week of the, what does it say?
The fourth of August.
Yeah. The layout is weird. Anyway, let's start off by talking about Bleach chapter, why is the chapter cover not on the cover spread? Dang it.
Chapter 591.
Perfect. All right. And we have, of course, we have a color spread, which is, it's a typical one.
It's like the usual ones he's made before.
Yeah.
And you can tell that due to the importance, the most important one starts from the front, and then they go all the way to the back.
I guess one could say that, but of course people would argue against that, because Orihime is second from the front, and of course people would be like, oh no, she's not important.
Well, the thing with that one is actually... Chad is caught, well, yeah, but they're kind of like in the same position.
He's behind Orihime by a bit. No, I think the reason people would be so pissed is that Rukia is behind Chad on this, what looks like the same level as Renji.
Mm-hmm.
So that, of course, would be why people would argue against that statement that it's by importance of character.
Well, she's not the main character.
Yeah.
She never was the main. Well, she was the main character initially, but that was like the previous idea, and then.
She was the female lead back when the series was first introduced, and then but then once they got back from Soul Society, she was no longer the female lead. That role, story-wise, switched to Orihime, but nonetheless, I look forward to the arguments that people have about this, or at least I would look forward, and I would go looking for those arguments, except people arguing about manga give me headaches.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Yeah, well, let's talk about this chapter itself, shall we?
Yeah.
It was, well, it focuses pretty much entirely on the on the Aron car, and it's pretty entertaining, because I have to say that two of the four characters that they brought back are some of my favorite, are some of the more entertaining, the more interesting Aron car, like, what's-his-face, the guy that was, like, the guy that really was really impressed by Ichigo during their first fight, and then I don't know. I forget
his name. He's the guy. I just call him the Nino guy because he calls Ichigo Nino all the time.
Yeah, I can't remember it either.
Starts with a C, though. I forget.
Yeah, I don't know. Doesn't matter. But yeah, and also let's see. Loopy. I'm not sure why he's back. He was kind of didn't leave much of an impression. The other guy left a huge impression because yes. And I don't know, I just think Tsuruchi's design is kind of fun, and that's probably why Kubo brought her back, because he's like, I want to draw her again. And also, I'll give her this scar, which I'm sure that's somebody's fetish somewhere.
But, everybody's got a fetish. Anyway, we'll move on.
Nonetheless, yeah, I do like how Mayuri is just, you know, just casually sets them on fire. Where he's like, stop your arguing. And it's like, oh, don't worry, there's no adverse effects to the body. It's an electric signal that stimulates pain directly in the brain. And they're like, that's even worse. But yeah, so, and then we get the actual fight. And it's, well, it's a fight in Bleach. It's interesting enough. They take out the zombies and don't really care about getting the blood out of the zombies on them. And then they go after what's-his-face.
Actually, it's kind of funny how right before the chapter title actually appears, Mayuri was saying that the reason why he can't really fight the Shinigamis that became zombies, generally because of the vow that they took about the whole "an officer shall die in the courtyard."
Right.
If one harms a court guard, one shall take one's own life. So if you kill one of your own, you have to kill yourself. Like, okay.
Yeah, it's like avoid doing that. Yeah, and then we also get to find out that at the end that that a certain character has become a zombie. A certain character that proves that Kubo is not afraid of his fans, apparently, because there will be lynch mobs after this.
I was just totally like, wow.
Yeah, I'm of course talking about the fact that Hitsugaya is now a zombie, and apparently they took the time to dress him in a Quincy uniform, which is kind of hilarious. Also a little bit creepy, considering that there have been some very pervy undertones the past couple chapters. But
That was just to Bambieta, who is probably dead now for sure.
Yeah, she got vaporized as well. thrown into the wall and then she got vaporized. So she's gone, most likely.
Oh well.
But yeah, she'll probably come back as a spirit, because keep in mind the Quincy's are actually living human beings, she'd be absorbed into Iwatch. But anyway. Yeah, it's an okay chapter.
The last page was just, I was like, wow. Remember we were just talking about the news about, oh, the Bleach Diamond Dust Rebellion movie's coming out. I was like,
oh, hey there, very popular character who is now dead. No, really, wait, he's already dead.
I have to wonder, how the heck did he go zombie? When did we even last see him? I mean, last time we saw him, he was flying badly or something, that guy.
And the thing is, he's not like the kind of zombie like the other Soul Reapers there that got splashed with the blood, because they're still their regular skin color, while he looks more like Bambieta, who apparently had to be killed and then raised as a zombie. So it would appear that he is dead, even though he's a ghost. So he was dead already anyway. This makes no freaking sense.
It kind of totally sucks. Was he the only who was willing to like learn to deal about his bankai and just start from the scratch?
It's what's probably going to happen is that since we haven't seen him in forever, I'm thinking what's going on is that it's going to turn out that that one is a fake.
Probably.
I have a hard time imagining, you know, that being the actual one.
Well, the way Mayuri says it, it seems like he actually knows and has an idea. Yeah, it's him.
Yeah, he's like, ugh, this may be troublesome.
Great. It's this guy. Damn it.
Indeed. Yep. But, all right. Let's see. What else do we have? Next bit is One Piece Chapter 755, A Man's World.
This chapter was hilarious.
Hilarious, but also kind of disturbing in certain parts.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the chapter cover a bit.
Yeah, it turns out that the cat's home is gone, and the dog cop is like, this isn't good. And, yeah. And then you see how Jinbei is climbing out of the bubble, which you're like, yeah, why do you need a bubble around that? But it's probably just for the machinery so it doesn't get wet.
So he can travel around faster, you know?
Yeah.
Although he can swim, but he'll tire himself out.
Well, yeah, but I think it's also... But, I mean, why would he need a bubble specifically? Because he can still breathe in the water, and so even if he has a ship in the water. But I'm pretty sure that the reason for it is that... You know, the machinery on the inside is sensitive and shouldn't get wet. But
yes, the machinery is not water.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, why would you make an underwater ship that's not waterproof? That makes no sense. But yeah. Okay, then. Let's see. And moving on, the actual chapter. Let's see. For the most part, we've got Kidemon and Kanjuro helping the... helping the guys climb out, even though...
I have to say, I draw better ladders than that. Much better ladders than that.
Yeah, that was kind of like, dude.
At first, I had to look, I was like, wait, is that a 10-tick? No, it's a ladder. That's a ladder. That's supposed to be a ladder.
Indeed. Yeah, it is. That is, does kind of amuse me, though. But, yeah, and then we also get to the Tontadas, who continue to be absolutely hilarious, because even when they know they're supposed to be fighting, they are still really gullible. And you've got, what's-his-face, Moji? Moji? I don't know.
It's Moji, because you're like, when it sounds like, wait, Moji? Don't we have another Moji that...
It's spelled okay. Differently, yeah.
I know, this one has a U, the other one has an H. But yeah. It's
said spoken the same
way.
So I'll be interested to see how the anime pronounces it. But yeah.
Moji, probably Moji.
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 Yeah. Anyway, yeah, well, he kind of looks like the prospector, you know?
He does.
You know, and of course they get to the Mon Cherie's room and everyone's like, oh, hey, you can't go in there, it says keep out. And he's like, keep out, why didn't you tell me earlier? I'm going too fast to stop, and... He breaks through the forbidden door, and it's just freaking hilarious. The Tontada's like, I'm so disappointed in you. It's like, you broke through the forbidden door, and they're like, hey, wait a minute, it's empty. What's going on here?
Mm.
Yep, and then let's see from there. Yep, they try to open the door while outside Franky is getting his butt kicked, and he's like, oh, hey, look, back in that alley, I saw a weak old grandma who needed help. And, yeah, Senor Pink is like, oh, well, sucks to be her. And then we get to meet the Smile Factory manager, Queen, who is 20 years old and has a vacuum now. That is
insane. I love how old they had to put that year, just put the age, just so we didn't think that she wasn't 30 or 40 or something.
Yeah, because design-wise, that's not what I would first think, but...
Yeah.
It's, yeah, but it's also kind of like, oh, geez, it's a prelude to sexism. She has a vacuum for a weapon. This is weird.
Why? No, she's just cleaning up. She's just trying to dust these Tontadas.
Yes, she is. Dust the Tontadas, indeed. Yeah, and she...
Vacuum them, sorry.
Yeah, well, it sounds better when you say dust.
True.
But, yeah, so... Let's see. And let's see, Frankie manages to get in and he grabs her and he suplexes her right as Senor Pink comes back, who is who is like, there ain't no old ladies that needed help, which is a relief, don't get me wrong. So that twig was like, oh my gosh, that's hilarious. And he smashes their heads together. And then, yeah, a weird thing happens, which I'm not sure how to react, because on the one hand, it's kind of freaking ridiculous and a little bit hilarious because it's so unexpected, especially for a character in one of Oda's stories. But Frankie basically grabs the queen's grabs her tie and then lands a big ol' smooch on her. And then after that, she is he's like, why would you do that? You'd better be my boyfriend from now on. And then it's basically, how else? Is like, Senor Pink is all, how else? What can a woman be silenced when she interferes in a fight between men? And you're like, that's an interesting thing to say.
These two are supposed to be like debonair, like supposedly, well, like being like James Bond in some way. I don't know what the heck. I mean, not like that, but you know, like.
It's kind of weird because, on the one hand, it's so over the top and ridiculous and kind of stupid, the whole thing. It's very clearly meant to be a parody of the hardcore macho kind of stories, you know? But at the same time, you have to ask the question, okay, at what point is a parody just as bad as the original, you know? Because you kind of. I don't know. Personally, I think while this scene would be weird for some people and might have triggers in it, as they say.
Why, it's Frankie. What the heck?
Well, yeah, but I mean, no, just in general, the whole, oh, hey, kiss a woman to make her shut up, because that is like that's like 60 years outdated, pretty much, and it's kind of offensive, but at the same time, you kind of have to wonder, okay, how much can you tolerate for the sake of comedy? Which, this is basically a parody of all those 50s, hard-boiled macho men kind of things. Yeah. And so, personally, I'm willing to let it go just because it is meant to be a parody, you know? Although, what's extra hilarious about it is that apparently now we like what kind of woman Frankie likes. Someone as weird as he is. I am so sorry, people that shipped Frankie and Robin, though I would never understood you. This must be very heartbreaking for you.
Anyways. Yes. That's totally fun. But yeah, the part like this is like the panel where those kind of, a real man's fight is about to begin. They're talking about that, and then all of a sudden, then you're paying in front of like diaper bomb, nipple light spice. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Take it seriously.
I mean, honestly, I think just from that we can see what Oda thinks of the whole hard boiled women should shut up when men are talking attitude of days gone by is kind of very well illustrated in this by seeing these guys that are all hardcore. Oh, hey, look, we are these manly men, etc. And now I will throw an attack at you that is an analogy for poop. And Frankie is like, let me twist my nipples at you. And it's like, yeah, I think that kind of gives you an idea of what Oda actually thinks of all of those kinds of characters. But, yeah. And, yeah. And so, let's see, and then we move on, and we discover that the Tontata say, hey, Mon Cheri is not there, you know, we don't know where she is, and Leo is the one that is with Rebecca, finds out about this, and then you got Usopp, who is like, hey guys, they're coming after us, we gotta get out of here. And then Viola decides, you know what, okay, I'm gonna use my powers to look for her, she's probably in the palace, as King Riku says. And then we get to see her where she is being kept in a room with a smaller room built into it and a grate in the wall. that she can't get out of, and she's basically nothing like what we'd been led to believe she was, because the Tontatas were all about, oh, she's got a terrible personality, she's just this big brat, but then she's just the damsel in distress. So I'm like, that's not quite the attitude I was expecting, but also apparently she's wanting Leo specifically to come save her. Interesting. But yep. Anyway, that was the chapter. I think overall it was a fun chapter. It was entertaining. The amount of enjoyment that anyone would get from it is kind of dependent on how, on whether they can take, whether they can take a joke, essentially. Because I mean, if Oda were playing the kiss a woman to make her shut up card straight, that would be horribly offensive.
What would be the straight way?
Well, basically, without the stupid punchline at the end and without the over-exaggerated personalities involved. If, say, for example, I mean, say, for example, it was Zoro who, go back to, like, oh, geez, what's it called again? Oh, I
Which arc
forgot
was it?
the last one. Why did
The
I forget?
biggest one with Punk Hazard?
Punk Hazard, yes, the Punk Hazard arc. Yeah, imagine if, go back to that one, and imagine a similar scene between Zoro and Tashigi, without the over-the-top, here's this guy that is obviously a parody of the hard-boiled, manly man detective character, and without it being Frankie that's involved, who is already, kind of overboiled and weird as well. But take it, imagine it were Zoro, who is, he's like a manly guy, but at the same time, he's not a parody of a manly guy. And imagine him doing something like that, and it not being a parody of something or of
Oh, but you will
anything.
rage.
It would have been, yeah. I mean, it would have been kind of a, it would have been kind of bad. And so that's why I think with this one, I don't know.
Maybe
It's
Oda's trying to
questionable
actually
at
make.
best.
Yeah, you're like, it's like I said, my question what might be two things. Might be Oda's way of, saying, oh, those 50s things were pretty silly and kind of silly. I mean, they were fun, but they were pretty silly. And it also might be his way of, if I did this, how would the fans react? And if their reaction is not what I expected, then I probably should do it again. Or let's try something else. Like, seriously, that scene may not mean much, but it will mean much because One Piece is pretty damn, it's pretty pop, it's the most popular manga in the world, period.
Well, I think I think that it really does come down to
I have to look
whether
up.
you can, whether you feel more offended or whether you can take it as a joke, And it personally, I think it's questionable, but at the same time, I still think, it's a joke. Whatever. Also, I do like the joke that where Frankie overhears what's going on and is like he uses his Frankie ear, and then the explanation, he was born with a good hearing. Also, where did those women come from? Like, after, Frankie and Senya Pink are both being so hard boiled, it's like just these other women show up, like, eek, they're so hard boiled, Senor, Frankie, and I'm
I
like,
guess they just follow them around.
yeah, but that's the first they show up there. Anyway, let's move on to Nisekoi chapter 133. Yes, which is funny because it's basically Onodera being all like, wait, what am I doing here? And then the guy's like, oh no, hey, we're cheering for Haru, remember? And like, how about you give the audience your best smile? And Kozaki is all, oh, And of course, all the guys are immediately defeated. And what's even kind of funny is how you get the reactions from Raku, and right behind him, you've got Chitoki is like, "Oh, you're so Kosaki, you're so adorable," or even doing the blushing with a eek from Chitoge herself, and I'm like, "Huh, interesting. Is this something that girls normally do? Get all flustered over how cute their female friends are? Is it? I don't know.
What?
How Chitoge is blushing and smiling when she sees Kosaki smile.
Oh.
And I'm just like, wait. You know, in the panel where Rock was basically got, it's like just got his head on the table trying to contain himself. Which, yeah, I don't know. Is that normal?
I think it's normal.
Okay.
It's normal because, you know, it's some guys, some people think, oh no, they're lesbian. No, it's just, you know, it's just like how some guys can find other guys attractive without the gay part of it, or, you know, with women can find other women attractive without the lesbian part of it. You know, it's like, you know, it is pretty beautiful. That person's handsome, whatever.
Yeah, totally, because guys can totally admit that other guys are attractive
No, I
without
will
our
never do
progressive
that.
society saying, oh,
I
you
will
must be
never admit
gay.
that because I feel very offended every time I see one.
But anyway, I did kind of find this amusing because I was thinking, oh wait, is this foreshadowing of a harem ending? Because you kind of get the sense that Chitoge would be okay with a harem ending, but only if it was Kosaki and none of the others. Although I don't know, I guess she'd be okay if Tsugumi joined in as well, but Marika and Yui, she'd be like, no, I draw the line. But yeah, so we end up with first place tied between the sisters, and so they decide to all. You know, you've got Haru who's like, oh hey, you know what? I'm gonna, you know what? This is ridiculous. I'm out of here. And Raku says, oh hey, like, you know what? You were really cute up there. And she's like, hey, what are you going? Why are you saying that? He's like, you just want to, you know, it's like that's why you get a reputation as a player, the fact that you say stuff like that to anybody. And I'm just thinking, oh good, somebody pointed it out. And he's like, wait, I have a reputation? And of course, it's like, of course he's gonna vote for Kosaki, but we, and they end up putting on the different costumes, and you've got, let's see, yeah, so, wait, which one was that? Okay, yeah, and then Kosaki shows up, and she basically wears a sailor, uniform, but it's different from the one that they normally wear, so it's, you've got the appeal of the sailor uniform while also not being something that they're used to seeing her in. And then we end the chapter with Haru showing up, but we don't know what she's wearing.
Probably something Japanese, like too.
Or maybe she's wearing something that will make her lose because she wants Kosaki to win. But yeah, it was a fun chapter overall, I'd have to say. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I would.
Indeed. All right. Let's move on to Seraph of the End, chapter 24. And I'm not going to go into details, though I will say that that the gag at the beginning with them trying to leave, you know, them trying to leave each other behind was kind of funny.
It was.
It was like, quick, there's an enemy, swerve to avoid it. And then it's like, intended landing spot. And he's like, and he's like, wait, what happened? He's like, see you 20 kilometers down the road. He's like, seriously. Although that is kind of like, yeah, if you guys are pretty much a bunch of jackasses and not a military unit, to be certain. And of course, we, at the end, we get that made very clear where Gurren is kind of pissed at them. When they sh not only when they show up late and don't behave like proper soldiers are meant to behave. And so I kind of, yeah, I do kind of like that, the way he chews them out, for it all. But yeah, other than that, they're about to attack the vampires, so cool. Got nothing else to say. Did you have anything to say about this chapter? Apparently not. Let's move on to World Trigger, chapter 70. Where, let's see, with this one, kind of jumps between between stories. We get to see the fight between one of Kuga's, between the one that Yuma, the basically, I guess he was involved in making it, like, no replica made the rabbit, basically, or something. But yeah, they end up. He takes some of Yuma's power, which allows him to, you know, use the abilities that Yuma does. But yeah, and then we also cut forward and we get the continued training simulations, but they managed to find the core of, of what's his face. And then we have, let's see, and then Shinoda, the director, shows up, man, just cuts across the building and by just jumping across to the training facility, where he shows up and is all being a badass. And yeah, and so we end the chapter with them deciding to turn off the training simulation, and he's like, okay, we're gonna finish him off now. So
wait, just go to serve the end without me.
It's your own fault for disappearing. Don't do that.
I was totally AI. I had to take a call, man. That was fast.
Well, there was nothing to talk about in Seraph of the End. Have anything you wanted to say?
Well, I kind of wanted to point something out kind of funny how a girl was pretty pissed at them for playing late and stuff. And I was like, yeah, it kind of reminds me of someone I know who gets upset at these antics these kids keep having.
Yes, it is.
You totally don't get it. I love that you don't get it. That's the funny thing, you don't get it.
Well, yeah, it was kind of, yeah, I mean, it was really entertaining to see him, these are some characters that have been annoying the heck out of me, so to see them actually get yelled at was kind of nice.
Okay, so, now we can move on to World Trigger.
Yes, World Trigger, I already talked about it, basically, but, yeah, I mean, it was a good chapter, and it had a really badass, moment at the end when Shinoda basically jumps across the gap in the building and just cuts his way into the training facility, which, yeah, rather than going down and over,
you know, like basically going an actual normal being, he's like, I don't got time for this, cut the whole goes through. That's hilarious.
Yes, indeed. Yep. And, okay, so let's see, let's move on to the next one, Naruto, chapter 687.
I totally wish I missed this one instead. Fine.
I mean, honestly, it's more of the same. More, oh, look how powerful she is. Oh, look, it's sad that Obito's dying. Hey, look, here's more Rin. And Obito dies, they continue the fight a little bit. Sakura says Naruto because that's all she can do anymore, apparently. And then we end with Obito and Rin in the afterlife finding each other again, except at the same time I'm just thinking this would have been a lot more effective if you had have established the fact earlier on, like at the very beginning, that she felt the same way about Obito as he does about her. Because despite all the freaking flashbacks, I'm still, all I can remember is the fact that even though Kakashi said, hey, Rin, Obito had was in love with you, and she was like, actually, I'm in love with you, I kind of can't get that initial characterization out of my head. So
that's
all
the problem with it, but yeah, that's the problem why I have with this, because it's not just that, it's even been going throughout the other generations. Yeah. Now they like Orochimaru. Orochimaru went crazy. Yuri liked her. She didn't like him.
No, she never liked Orochimaru. Where the hell are you taking this from?
I don't know.
You're making that up. That isn't actually a thing. She had a boyfriend, but who was completely different and who died.
Okay.
Remember in her ideal world that they show?
I know, yeah, her ideal world.
That showed, yeah, her boyfriend, not whatever the heck you're talking about. But nonetheless, I mean, you can look it up if you want, but I'm pretty sure you're just making
it. I don't feel like it. No. Fine, whatever.
I do not recall at any point ever mentioned that Tsunade and Orochimaru had a thing for Orochimaru, and that's just, no. But anyway.
It's probably because I was trying to connect the whole generation thing, how, you know, there's a.
Well, that's Kishimoto's fault.
Because I know, that's why I blame Kishimoto for that.
I know that apparently the previous flashbacks and things were supposed to show, oh hey, Rin actually felt for Obito, except all of the flashbacks that we see between them happened before the moment in the story that we had between time skips that said, oh hey, this is You know, she, the moment where it reveals that, oh, she has a thing for Kakashi, because all the flashbacks between her and Obito happened before this. So we see those and remember, oh, at this point, she still had a thing for Kakashi. They didn't interact afterwards. We don't ever see whether she changed her mind about how she felt about whom, and honestly, believing that Obito is dead, she'd have no reason to change the way she feels, because quite frankly, you know, even if it's like, oh, I never treated him well, but in the back of your mind, you'd still be thinking, well, he's dead, but the guy that I liked before him is still alive. So, you know, it's not like some, I don't know, it's just, yeah, and it just, I don't buy it. I don't buy this whole, oh, this is supposed to be a touching moment between Obito and Rin, because at no point did we actually properly get the feeling that she had stopped liking Kakashi and was liked Obito instead. And so all I can imagine is Obito shows up and she's like, oh, I'm your friend, but I still like Kakashi. I mean, you're a friend and you mean a lot to me, but man, if I had a chance to jump Kakashi's bones, I would take it in an instant. That's kind of what I'm imagining happens after this chapter ends. You know, just a define the relationship conversation in the afterlife, where it's like, look, I know I meant a lot to you, and you know, you based your all of your choices were based around your feelings for me. But let's just get one thing straight. I never actually changed the way I felt, and I still want to bone Kakashi. That would be hilarious, and I actually wish that happened because Obito has been doing nothing but piss me right the fuck off. And in fact, the entire manga's been doing that. It's moving the fuck on. Tutorial, chapter, don't do this to me. Chapter
Chapter
287.
287.
Yes.
I didn't even look at my notes. I just remembered that one.
Yep.
Toriko
And then.
Toriko 600 chapters exactly behind Naruto. That's all I need to remember.
Jeez. But yeah, we got the fight between the Blue Devil and the Nightmare Herrick. And then we get Toriko wakes up and it turns out that, oh look, his hair is black now.
that totally gnarly.
Yeah, and I'm like, whoa, you look different.
Normal.
What the heck's going on here?
He
But
looks
yeah,
normal.
and so I guess when he doesn't have the blue demon in him, his hair is black, which is kind
Like
of
Coco's like,
hilarious.
hey, wait, I'm supposed to be the one with black hair. Wait, what color is zebra's hair? Isn't orange or red?
Brownish, reddish,
Brown?
brownish.
I swear it was reddish-ish.
But yeah, anyway. Let's see. And then yeah, they managed to make their way to let's see. Komatsu and Mappy make their way to the Slow Rain Hill, and then Zebra joins them, and we find out that Brunch went to go get that knife that we saw before, that Melk was using before to harvest air. And they see, and then they find the tree that air is growing on. And Komatsu is kind of looking at it and going like, oh, wait a minute, what's that? He notices something we did not see. Curious, I must say. But yeah, so what what did you
You
think of this
okay?
chapter? I'm fine.
It was pretty cool when Torgo's hair ended up being black, and I was like, oh, and wait, did he actually see his blue demon manifest itself like right before him or something? Because it looked like he was talking to him.
It does, yeah. I think that's what we're supposed to take from this, is that he did, you know, that he is interacting with it. So.
Although I just hope that octopus thing is okay because it's their main transportation. I like octopus. I don't want it to
Yes, true.
die. Anyways.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to One Punch Man, chapter. Let's see.
36.
36.
Crash.
Crash
Like
indeed.
that movie.
Yeah.
I never seen that movie though.
And then we've
I heard it
got
was good.
I never watched it, and I don't think I actually care to. Let's see. Yeah, we have let's see. Amai Mask, Handsome Kamen
I
shows
never got
up.
that name at all, to be
Me
honest.
neither. And he's basically a jackass because like,
Yes.
oh man, this is you call this a victory? Your incompetence amazes me, and I'm just like, and they do yeah, and it is kind of like. Yeah, it is kind of funny. It is kind of funny. I was like, you have an attitude, but you showed up late. And it's like, yeah, well, sure, I was late, but you were here. Which on the one hand is like, hey, shut up, douchebag. On the other hand, I'm like, you know, he brings up a good point. You were there, but
They were
nonetheless.
there, but then Atomic Sam was like, hey, we were in a meeting at headquarters and we came on seconds. But then the city's all destroyed, like it got destroyed like a second before they can get out.
Yeah. And we also, let's see, we have Metal Knight shows up, who was like, wait, now he shows up? What the heck? And
Douchebag.
then, yeah, and we
Dude.
also, yeah, some of the aliens are still there, but Amai Mask kills them. And yeah, he's clearly an antagonist. Because he's very, that's very not cool. And, it was an okay chapter. I mean, it wasn't my favorite out there, but it was all right, I
I
suppose.
really hope to see Metal Bat and the Mind Mask go head to head because clearly they're not good. They're not good around each other at all.
True, indeed.
But it kind of sucks they killed the aliens. I mean, they were just, oh, what are we gonna do? We're trying to form the whole thing. He just comes and kills them all. I'm like, eesh.
Yeah. All right.
They're evil.
And let's see, moving on to Blue Exorcist chapter 59.
I don't like that face.
Me neither. It sucks, but yeah.
Changing the page.
Yeah, it's this chapter was good. I enjoyed it overall. Although there were some parts that I found weird, like such as the fact that Gedoin keeps, digging himself deeper into a hole. And Kamiki being all, "Oh, you can't save me." And it's like, "I'm not gonna let you." And then her deciding, "Yeah, I'm gonna," although I do think it is kind of badass where she decides to take in the nine-tailed fox and is basically going to grab it and she's going to defeat the nine-tailed fox and actually gain its power, which I think, yeah, that would be pretty badass if that happens. But overall, I mean, it was an okay chapter, but this Blue Exorcist has been a little for me.
There was a part in this chapter that made me hate Gedoin, even though I swear he was right. The part where Rin was asking him, "Hey, aren't don't this is actually wrong? Aren't you actually bothered by it?" He's like, "No, I'm not because I despise you, man." He's mentioning how humans use experiments on animals all the time, and he's pretty much saying, "Why don't we experiment on ourselves?" I'm like, "Well, we kind of do."
Because we value ourselves more than we do animals, apparently.
Yeah, I know. At the same time, unless the animals can talk like us, which the majority of them, in other words, 97% of them can't,
We don't
then.
experiment on parrots.
So,
At least I
yeah,
don't
if.
think we do. I don't know. Maybe there's
I
some
don't
jackass
think.
that does.
Probably there is one that does.
Which is, well.
Totally messed up. Like, why would you do this to me?
Yeah, well.
Is that, are you really saying that, parrot? Or are you just repeating what you said before?
It's like, you're just repeating what my human test subject said. I was like, dude, seriously, you're messed up. No, but yeah, no, people, don't experiment on animals, kids.
Even if they're bugs, even if they're cockroaches that you hate.
Yeah, especially if they're cockroaches. We've seen what happens.
Yeah, we just discussed it a while ago.
Yeah. Don't experiment on cockroaches. They will become intelligent and they will F you up. Just don't do
Yeah.
it. All right, let's see. Okay, and I think it's time for us to talk about Assassination Classroom.
Chapter 96.
Yes, and this is basically they go to the school, find out that the dude is actually a really nice guy, even though
He's a principal.
he's being kind of added how he is has a bit of an attitude because, well, for good reason.
Ah, well, I
But
mean.
yeah, and it turns out that he basically is helping run this elementary school or whatever for kids out of his own pocket, and just because it's the right thing to do. So they help him, they fix the place up and everything, and then we end it, and it's basically them being helping out and whatnot, all the kids, and then even the ones that didn't do anything. And then we end up seeing how he comes back, and it turns out that they've kind of fixed up the entire place, and he's kind of shocked, And
I totally have to. Yeah, I totally have to admit though. There was a part in the chapter where Nagito was working along with that one girl, and I looked at and I was like, "Is she?" It's like, okay, there's two theories. Either she might be, well, unless Karma was there, apparently he was, so it can't be Karma's little sister or something, but I was pretty much thinking, what if she was probably the chairman's daughter?
I doubt it.
Yeah, I know. It's just the hair. Like, why would he put the hair like that in the first one? I mean, that's how we're going to see. I mean, we will see Emmy at some point, but we don't know if we can get that far. Actually, he should, though.
Oh, we shall see. All right, and let's see. And
that was a good chapter, though.
Indeed. And we also have Shokugeki no Soma, chapter 81, correct?
Yes, and the title is The Observer Arrives.
And this is the one where basically turns out that the details of the Shokugeki are already in the school newspaper, and Soma is... excuse me. And Soma meets this... reporter kid who is basically, hey, let me report on you. Everyone thinks you're going to lose, but I think you'll win, and I want to report on you and everything, so.
I was very irked by that chapter.
Really? I thought it was okay. It was fine, I thought.
Well, you know, it's because just after Soma just bluffs out Subaru, you know, saying, oh, you know, I'll show my tools, I could beat you. And then at the same time, you know, I don't know if at some point it was said, but Subaru works on his own. He doesn't have outside help or anything. At the same time, let's not forget that the hint is that this guy is working under Aizan. And I just don't, in general, I also don't like paparazzi characters in general in manga. Mm. I mean, I didn't like the one in Isco at all. I mean, she was okay, but it just irked me. Because all they ever really do is appear and get valuable information, either try and make things a little hectic and tense, or make it really tense and difficult, and actually, in most part, indirectly cause the downfall of the characters.
True. Well, yeah.
Because that's what paparazzis do.
Oh, yeah. I can see why you wouldn't like the type of character.
Though, I mean, but... even at the very end, it's almost like, nope, not going to let you interview me. They'll probably cave at some point, but you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was all right, but we'll see where he comes. I can see him being the irritating character later on down the road, but we'll see what happens there. All right, let's move on to Fairy Tale, chapter 395, Tartarus Arc, part 5, Ultimate Pain. And I don't know why the first page won't show up, but...
It's Wendy on the cover.
It is. No, I mean the page after that won't show up for me.
Oh, that. I don't know.
But yeah, basically, let's see. We jump between the different fights. We've got Sting and Rogue fighting Mardgear. We've got Urza and Minerva trying to find the...
Find the dead chairman.
Yeah, which he's dead now. Juvia took care of it, so this is pointless. But and apparently we also find out that Minerva is really good at cooking. So Panther Lady imagines her as a kind of typical, in a typical housewife get-up, which, I don't know what it is, but for some reason that general sort of happy expression with an apron seems to work on everyone. Is it just me, or is that just my fetish?
No, it just works, because when you see someone look so happy, even if we have remembered that they've done horrible, horrible things, despite that we had their background to try and justify why they did those horrible, horrible things, they can still look good, even though they look all smiling, happy, and apron.
Yes. Indeed. It is, yeah, it's an odd phenomenon that it would appear affects some people. But yeah, and then we get the fight, we've got the demons do their transformed forms. You got Natsu and Gijio do their twin dragon, dual dragon things.
I know, so
and, yeah, they fight, and they do pretty well, but then Natsu and Gijio are like, you know what, screw you, and start fighting each other, and Lucy's like, why? Why are you doing
it
this?
It was totally funny how those two guys, how the two demons, they were finding, like, what the heck are they doing? One was like, that one turtle guy was like,
yeah,
was like, wait.
I don't get it.
What? I don't get it.
Yeah, I thought it was, I don't know, it was a little, It was a little,
The chapter or the part?
Well, yeah, that part of the chapter was a little cliche, I guess.
Yeah, because usually we see with Natsu and Gray, right?
Yeah, well, but I mean Natsu and everyone. He's not much of a team player. Mm-hmm. But kind of, I don't know. In general, it's the whole bickering has been done before, but I thought it was an okay chapter. Not my favorite, but yeah.
I like it. Wait, what about the part about Yuvia?
That was enjoyable. I mean, it was a follow-up to the previous chapter, and we'll kind of see where that goes.
But you didn't... Are you not worried about the fact that she got infected by an anti-magic thingy?
Oh, she's not going to die.
I know that. I
said, why be worried? You know he's not going to do it.
That's not it. It's anti-magic. She will not be able to use her magic.
True. Interesting. We'll see what happens there.
Could there be a mage in? I mean, since Fairy Tail is a mage guild, is there anyone in the mage guild that doesn't actually use magic and it's actually useful? I haven't seen anyone other than the cats, but the cats. Oh.
They use magic.
The cats don't count to me. They use magic. Yeah. Okay. So the cats don't count anyway.
Yeah. So I should imagine we shall see what happens. But
well, it's Mashima. I have faith in him this time, unlike the other guys. Surprisingly.
Yep. And let's see.
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah, I don't know. It was alright. But let's move on to Seven Deadly Sins, Chapter 88, Hell on Earth. Which, this chapter is basically... It's like, Meliodas is like, I understand if you want to, kill me for that reason. But then he's like, I'm not going to just take it laying down. I've got too much I need to do. And I really liked Hawk in this one, just because he's like, the voice of reason, even though he knows that if Bond wanted to, he could absolutely waste him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was actually kind of nice. And it's like, the line is like, hey, if it's a lot, it's like, Bond is like, what if it's true? I can't take that risk. I gotta try to bring her back. And then Hawk is like, what if it's a lie? Then you have lost your best friend. And you can kind of really tell that really hits Bond hard. He's like, oh, geez. But at the same time, it's like, she's more important to me than any of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so they continue their fight. Well, I think they're continuing their fight, but they may just be like, okay, let's hold off on this for now until we finish off, what's going on here. And then we see, and of course, we've got Grimoire, who knows what's up with Hendrickson, and he is going to protect Elizabeth. But he also manages to hold his own against Hendrickson by using his wall magic, which is kind of awesome. And then you've got... and then, let's see, Hendrickson. And then you've got Dreyfus that shows up, and...
the like, they end up team up.
Yeah, and you're just like, man, these guys are huge. It's just something Grimoire is just, he has a face that doesn't look like it belongs on a very big body, but his shoulders are absolutely freaking massive,
mm-hmm. Football player status.
Yeah. So, yeah, pretty much, kind of, yeah, and it was a really good chapter. I really enjoyed this time around. It was very entertaining and had some really awesome stuff happening.
Aren't you totally forgetting something?
Forgetting what?
That chapter cover.
Oh, yeah. That didn't load for me this time, fortunately.
You're lucky you.
I was like, oh, hey, it didn't load.
When I saw, I was like, oh, my goodness, what am I seeing here? And for some reason, the only one that actually looked normal decently was actually Gowther. I was like, well, I'm not surprised about that.
Well, yeah. I did find that kind of hilarious. It was very much a... the weirdest thing I've seen this series do. But, yeah, alright. And let's see, let's go. I think that's it. That's all the manga we had to talk about, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alright, let's wrap things up. This has been episode 108. Has it been 108? I think it's been 108. Yeah, just go back to the beginning or look on your...
108.
Yes. Okay. Yep, and this week we went over Attack on Titan volumes 9 and 10. We also talked about manga, as you just noticed right now. Let's see. Let's go ahead and just let's just wrap things up. We'll talk about the author comments. Bleach's Tite Kubo. I finally bought a clock. Now I can know the time. I totally know what time it is.
Wait, he didn't have a clock back then?
Apparently not. Well, do you have a clock, or do you use your phone?
I have an actual clock, a clock that's been around way before I was born, and I have my phone as well.
Nice.
The problem is they're not in sync, and I have my laptop's clock as well. Mm. I have clocks everywhere.
Ah.
Like three clocks in front of my face, generally.
All right. What's the next one?
One Piece is age or older. I was wondering why Shibata and Ishiyama hadn't been coming in to assist me lately, and it turns out they have new series. Good luck. Oh, well, nice. You are now the master, although you have proceeded. You have proceeded as this from disciple to master, because you were once disciple to.
He's been a master for a while. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yep, Nisekoi is now Shikomi. Smash Bros. Has yet to die down in the studio. Smash Bros. Theater has yet to die down in the studio. I'm not giving up until I defeat a certain somebody who's too darn good.
Wait, who is that certain somebody of two times?
I don't know.
It's a Diddy Kong.
Anyway.
Oh, it's Brawl, sorry.
Yeah, move on.
They're talking about Melee or the original one.
I don't know. And he's talking about not a character, but one of the people in the office.
I know, I guess.
You can be good with any of the characters.
I know.
Alright, next one.
Anyways, Seraph of the End, Yamato Yamamoto. Next month, Volume 6 will be on sale in Japan. Try and guess with your friends who what will be on the cover.
I don't want to. World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. I'm keeping myself awake by drinking the coffee my editor brought back from Brazil. It really tastes like Brazil. What does that even mean?
You know, it's like saying it tastes like America.
Mm, indeed.
You know, these fries, they taste like America. Like,
that's
no,
not
they
a good
don't.
Thing. That is not a good thing. All right, next one.
Naruto, Masashi Kishimoto. I was thinking about how my previous editor hadn't returned the books I lent him. Then it turned out I already had them. Sorry.
Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro. When I pull all-nighters, my eyes get so tired, I can't see the pages. I really gotta sleep. Next one.
I gotta sleep early to myself. Look, sis. Kazue Kato's. Recently, I found myself smiling when I see the ad machine infomercial with the actor Takashi Ukaji. Infomercials.
Interesting. Yeah. Well.
Okay.
Anyway, all right. And let's do our rankings for the week, shall we?
Yeah.
Good question. I would say in fourth place for me is World Trigger.
Okay.
What's your fourth place?
My fourth place is Seraph of the End.
Fair enough. All right, let's see. Third place, I'm going to put Bleach.
Third place is... which one was it? Nisekoi.
Okay. My second place is Nisekoi, actually.
Okay.
Your second place?
Bleach.
Fair, okay. And first place is One Piece.
The hard-boiled man.
No, yeah. Well,
yes, One Piece.
Yes, One Piece was quite entertaining. I enjoyed it. All right, and I think that about wraps us up, so we don't have any questions or comments. If you have questions or comments, send them to burninglizardstudios@gmail.com or go to burninglizardstudios.com or perhaps even go and look us up on iTunes. Manga Cubed, the manga podcast. You can find it there. And, yeah, that is about all we have. So just remember, folks, the manga is always better.